I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to stand. You're standing. We're going to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to call your attention to verse 33. This is what it says. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence. Notice that. It says that the wife see that she reverence, she honor, she respect, she esteem her husband. I want to take a few moments as you're seated, and I want to talk to you about 8 ways to honor your husband. I love what Mark Twain said, it being Father's Day. Mark Twain said these words. He said, when I was a boy of 14, I thought my father was the most ignorant man upon the face of the earth. He's so dumb. And he said, I could hardly stand being around Dad when I was 14. But he said, then I became 21, and I was amazed at how much my daddy had learned in only 7 years. Men are to be honored on Father's Day. I believe that. James Dobson said, the straight life for a working man is pulling your tired frame out of bed 5 or 6 days a week. 50 weeks out of the year, it's earning a 2-week vacation in August and choosing a trip that will please the kids rather than yourself. The straight life is spending your money wisely when you'd rather indulge yourself in a new whatever. It's taking your son bike riding on Saturday when you badly would like to be on the golf course. It's cleaning out the garage on your day off after working 60 hours that week. The straight life is coping with head colds, engine tune-ups and crabgrass, and income tax forms. It's taking your family to church on Sunday when you've heard every message the preacher has to offer. Now, that wouldn't be true here. It's giving a portion of your income to God's work when you already wonder how you're going to make ends meet. That's the straight life. That's the men that are to be honored. I read a book by a man by the name of David Chadwick. David Chadwick is a man's man, 6'7", played basketball for Dean Smith at the University of North Carolina. David Chadwick wrote a book entitled 8 Ways to Honor Your Wife. And if you were here on Mother's Day, I hope you were. If you weren't, you can get the CD or you can go online. It won't even cost you. And I preached a message on 8 ways to honor your wife. It was a Mother's Day message. And it was helpful. It was helpful to men on how we can really honor women. But then I found out something. David's wife, Marilyn Chadwick, she's also written a book entitled 8 Ways to Honor Your Husband. So just as I took that book that's biblically based and I preached on 8 ways to honor your wife on Mother's Day, I want to take it today and I want to talk to you about 8 ways that are biblically based that are right out of the book. 8 ways to honor your husband. She said the first way to honor your husband is to first become strong. To first become strong. You know, the Bible says this in Genesis 2:18. Most of you know this verse. It says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And I've read that verse 1,000 times, probably just like you have. And I read that word, help meet, and God's going to make a helper, and a man needs a helper, needs somebody to assist him. But it means far more than that. It's the Hebrew word ezer, E-Z-E-R, that little word help. And what it actually means is a rock. What it actually means is to rescue or to save. And you know that word Ezer is used 20 times in the Old Testament. 18 of the times it refers to God. It's in Isaiah chapter 41. We know this verse. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." Ezer. It's talking about God. It's used 20 times. 18 times it's used of God. But the other two times, it's used when it's talking about a wife. It's talking about her being the rock, her being the strength. Now, let me say something. When it's saying she's a man's strength, she's to protect her man, it's not talking about protecting her man physically. I hope you'd not need that, men. But it's talking about protecting him emotionally. It's talking about protecting him spiritually. It's talking about protecting him mentally. Because no matter how strong a man may seem to be, there are going to be low times in his life when he's going to need a rock. No matter who he is, he's going to need that rock. And she talked about that woman can't be that rock unless she's in the proper relationship with the Lord. She talked about that woman can't be that rock unless she's humble. That woman can't be that rock unless she's in the right fellowship with the Lord. And she said, a way in which a woman can honor her husband is she's first got to become strong, and she's got to become everything she needs to be in light of God. But then she talked about a second way in which you can honor your husband. And she said, believe the best. Believe the best. Ladies, let me tell you something. The devil will bring the worst to your mind. He'll bring the worst to your mind about your husband. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Because what we tell ourselves determines how we behave. And what you tell yourself about your husband will determine how you feel about your husband. And what you tell yourself about your husband will determine your relationship with your husband. See, think about this. We talk about the devil. Did you ever think about what does the word devil actually mean? We all know who he is. But does anybody, the word devil, what does it actually mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. The word devil means divider. Divider. You know what the devil wants to do? No matter how long you've been married, he wants to divide your home. Because see what the devil does? He divides relationships. That's his role. He wants to divide relationships. No matter what relationship you have, you say, we're having problems. It's the devil that wants to divide it. What does the word Satan mean? It means accuser. What does the devil want to do? He wants to bring accusation, and he wants to divide. Now, folks, I'm not a marriage expert. I'm not. I don't even think I'm a good husband. I don't think I'm any of that. I just preach the Bible. But Gary Smalley, I mean, he's a marriage expert. And this is what Gary Smalley said. He said, 80% of a person's marriage is good. 20% of it, there'll be some struggles. You say, oh, no, Brother Ben, that's not us. It's our marriage is perfect. Our marriage was made in heaven. So is thunder and lightning, amen? But anyway, he said 80% of it is good. 20%, there'll be a struggle. And Gary Smalley said the problem is we have a propensity just to focus on the 20%. We have a tendency just to focus on the 20% of our husband that we don't totally agree with, rather than focusing on the 80% that is good and wonderful. And what she talked about believing the best. And she said, how you do that? What's some practical ways you can do that? She said, express gratitude for your husband in front of others. Express gratitude for your husband in front of others. I've been around so many couples that they put each other down in front of other people. And then she said, write a gratitude list. Write a gratitude list of all the things that you're with your husband you're grateful for and give it to him. She said, there's a third way to honor your husband. She said, build him up. Build him up. And then she talked about how to do that. She said, there's two ways that you build him up. She said, number one, you let him lead. You let him lead. Ephesians 5 and 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, I want you to know something. God's principles don't change. They do not change because the culture changes. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And I've never one day in my life believed that a woman was inferior to a man. I've never believed that one day in my life that a woman was inferior to a man. Many times they're smarter than men, and all the women said, amen. But I do believe this with every fiber of my being. When it comes to the home, they have a different role and they have a different function. And let me say, ladies, you've got to provide a vacuum and allow him to lead. You've got to give that space and allow him to lead. I remember I was going to get married. I was a kid. And Barbara's mother said to her, are you sure you want to marry him? And Barbara said, Mama, why do you say that? And she said, well, my daddy was a preacher. And I saw what my mother went through. And he's going to be gone more than he's going to be home. Her mother didn't know how prophetic she was. Are you sure? And Barbara said, yes. And she said, now when you marry him, he's to be the spiritual leader of the home. Because that's biblical. And folks, it's quiet, but it's still biblical. It's still biblical. You said, Brother Benny, how can I provide a vacuum? You know, perhaps, folks, perhaps, ma'am, you're more spiritual than he is. Perhaps you know more about the Bible than he does. Well, when you pray, you don't have to quote 13 verses. You don't have to prove your spirituality. You don't always have to be talking about the deep things of God that you've learned about that perhaps he don't know about. But if you'll keep some of that to yourself and provide a vacuum, and when he steps up and shows you a verse and he says, look at this I found, even if it's John 3:16, you say, oh, that's great. Let me tell you something. If you want to honor your husband, ladies, let him lead. I know men who don't lead their homes, and they'll go to the Kiwanis Club and they'll lead. They'll go to work and they'll lead. They'll go to the ball field and they'll lead. They'll go to other organizations and they'll lead because God innate put it in a man to lead. And if he can't lead at home, he'll find somewhere else to lead. And all God's people said, amen. Build him up. Let him lead. Number two, she said, speak words of life. Speak words of life. You know, there's a verse that I never found till this week. It's in Proverbs 14 and 1. Look what it says. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Not the man builds the house, but it said, every wise woman builds her house. And when you speak words of life, you build your house. And she did something. This lady who wrote the book, she said she asked all three of her children to write your dad a letter and let him know how special he is and let him know how much you appreciate him. Write your dad a letter. You know, my Savannah Abigail, my daughter, has been in college now for about 6 years. And She got a job. And on the 30th day of this month at 4:32 on a Friday afternoon, she gets her first check. But who's counting? But she's been in college, so she hasn't had any money. And I remember one year, she gave me this. It's an envelope. And it says, "Dad, I know this isn't much, but I love you." And inside of it's a letter that I'm not going to share because it's personal. But I can tell you this. I wouldn't take $1,000 for the letter. They couldn't nobody see me after the service and say, "I've got $1,000 and I'll give it to you if you let me have that letter." It means more to me than any amount of money. Build him up. The fourth thing she said that we can do is fight for him. What do you mean fight for him? Well, she said, the greatest thing that you can do for your husband is pray for him. Pray for him. Fight for him. She said there's a fifth thing that you can do. She said you can guard your home. Titus 2:5 says that the wife is to be the keeper of the home. You know what men said in America? Men in America said, rather than a fabulous physical relationship with their wife, there's one thing that tops that. You say, "Brother Benny, what would that be?" The men in America said, rather than a fabulous physical relationship with their wife, the one thing that tops that is having peace when they get home. Just having peace. And she talked about it's that woman's responsibility to guard that home. And she talked about practical ways you can guard it. She said, when your husband gets home, greet him. Let him know you're proud when he gets home. She said, number two, don't let social media dominate your time with each other. Don't let social media dominate your time with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where people are addicted to social media. And we're missing out on the best. Because we're focusing sometimes on what's good, but sometimes on what's bad. It's controlling us. Rather than always posting, be with your family. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. I was in a restaurant not long ago, and I said to Barbara, I said, "Oh, Barbara, that's wonderful. Thank God, look at that family. They're bowing their heads. They're praying. All four of them. That's what we need." She said, "They're not bowing their heads and praying. They're all on their phones." We can't even have a dinner with each other without taking our phones. You said the world can't make it without me. Oh, yeah, it can. It'll make it without you. 30 minutes after you're gone, I'll tell you what they'll say. Pass the potato salad. Number three, she said, guard your home by going to bed at the same time. Five rules for a man to have a happy life. It's important to have a woman who helps at home, who cooks from time to time, cleans up, and has a job. It's important to have a woman who can make you laugh. It's important to have a woman who you can trust, who doesn't lie to you. It's important to have a woman who's affectionate and who likes to be with you. It's very, very important that these four women do not know each other. I'm kidding. There's a sixth way. The sixth way that you honor your husband is to lighten his load. Bill Hybels, who pastors Willow Creek, says men exhaust themselves into immorality. Men exhaust themselves into immorality. She talks about the need that every man needs rest and relaxation. This is what I do know. When God created man and woman, God created man and woman different. Is a woman better than a man? Yes. Is a man better than a woman? Yes. A woman's better than a man at being a woman, and a man's better than a woman at being a man. I don't know why we're trying to be the same when God created us different. God created woman in that garden. She's delicate. She's delicate. That's why he created her in that garden. He created man outside of that garden. He created man in the wild. That's why a man will get out of a warm bed and get into a cold tree. That's why 22 men will get on a field and fight over a pigskin when they all could afford to buy their own. I read a book, folks. If you haven't read the book, every man ought to read the book. It's a very good book. It's called One Day Contract by Rick Pitino. There's a chapter in the book called Meaningful Distraction. And he talks about no matter how who the man is, he needs a meaningful distraction in his life. He needs a meaningful distraction. He needs something in his life that when he's doing, he doesn't think about anything else but that. She said there's a seventh way in which you can honor your husband. That is, dream big together. Dream big together. You know, when you dream together as couples, folks, you know what it does? Whether we realize it or not, it builds contentment in your marriage. When we dream big together, it builds continuity. It builds futuristic long range being together. Dream big together. That's what you do with your husband. You believe in his dreams. I came to Rock Springs Church, folks. It hadn't always been this way. It was real small. Real small. Literally, I made nothing. I made no money. The first few years I was here, I sold furniture to supplement my income. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit. I made nothing. Had nothing. And I remember we had a gentleman that came and preached a revival for us, and he pastored a large church in Missouri, and I heard him preach. A large church. And his grammar was as bad as mine. Well, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't good. And I remember he preached the last night, and he was getting ready to pull out. And I said to Barbara, we were walking the circle, and I said, Barbara, God did it through that man. Perhaps God could do it through me. Oh, she said, Benny, he can. I said, you know, Barbara, I've never been the sharpest knife in the drawer. She said, but I believe in you. I believe you can do it. And bless God, folks, with the Lord's help, we've done it. But you've got to dream big together. You've got to believe in him. You've got to believe in his dreams. Norman Vincent Peale, I don't know if you realize this, but Norman Vincent Peale was Donald Trump's pastor when Donald was a boy. And this is all we can, every one of us can agree on this. Donald certainly needed a pastor. And Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, and he started taking it around to trying to get people to publish it. And they told him over and over, no, no. And he finally got discouraged, and he took the manuscript and he threw it in the trash can. And he looked at his wife, Ruth, and he said, Ruth, I forbid you from getting it out of the trash can. She said, okay. Norman went to work. She got that trash can. She went down to a publisher. carrying that trash can. And she said, let me tell you something. My husband forbids me from getting this out. But what's in it's gold. And if you'd get it out and you'd read it, it'd make a fabulous book. And that publisher reached in there and he poured it out. And he published it. And it became the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and sold 5 million copies and stayed number one on the New York Times bestseller list for 186 weeks. Let me tell you something. If Ruth had not believed in Norman Vincent Peale, there never would have been a Norman Vincent Peale. And it's amazing what your husband could accomplish on whatever level if you just believe in him and you dream big together. She said, there's an eighth thing, and I'm done. I've preached too long today. Nobody said amen. She said, create a culture of honor. Create a culture of honor. Folks, here's where we've missed it. Wait, I'm not done. But we live in a world, it seems like we get satisfaction from slamming somebody. We get satisfaction from putting somebody down. We get satisfaction from being divisive. But you know, the Bible teaches, wait, I want you to hear this. The Bible doesn't teach that. You know what the Bible teaches? It teaches to honor your father and mother. You say, well, man, I didn't have the best dad. Well, you don't honor them in light of whether their performance. You honor them in light of their position. I don't walk into a courtroom and the judge is sitting up there and I say, hey, Bob, what's going on? No, it's your honor. He's the judge. Do you realize, folks, that the Bible teaches us to honor leaders in our government? The Bible teaches us to honor our pastors. The Bible teaches us to honor widows. The Bible teaches us to honor one another. And when we create a culture of honor, it'll revolutionize your home. I remember years ago, back when I used to do a lot of counseling, don't call, I'm terrible. If I was suicidal, I wouldn't see myself. Anybody that wants to talk as much as I do is not a good counselor. See, while you're talking, I'm thinking about what I'm wanting to say next. I'm not a good counselor. My philosophy is admit it, quit it, and forget it. I'm not your counselor. Everybody that's come to see me has ended up in divorce court. But back when I used to do a lot, a lady came in and she said, Brother Biddy, I know our problem. I said, what's your problem, sis? She said, our problem is we're both in love with the same man. And the problem with a lot of relationships, they're both in love with one. Marcus Buckingham, and I close, said, he studied successful marriages. He did a Gallup poll. And he said there was one common denominator in all successful marriages. Each partner rated the other person higher than themselves. In all successful marriages, each partner rated the other person higher than themselves. You know what I know? Mother's Day, I was a hero with the women. And today, most of the men think I like Pastor Benny. The women are saying I despise the man. But it's biblical, ladies and gentlemen. It's biblical for that wife to honor her husband. And it's biblical for that husband to honor the wife. And if we do that, the problems will take care of themselves.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.